think of one person so universally admired, respected, and charismatic that he could unite the entire world? How will the Antichrist do it? Today, on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah continues his look at this powerful figure who will rise to prominence, albeit temporarily during the Great Tribulation. To introduce the conclusion of The Beast from the Sea, here's David.
Well, you may not know about prophecy. You may not know much about the future, but if you've just been around a little bit, you've heard of the Antichrist. He's in movies. He's a Hollywood character. And yet, more than that, he's a biblical character. The Bible describes this man who will one day rule the world. The Bible tells us about his ruthlessness, his hatred, his lack of any kind of reverence for God. In fact, he sets himself up as God and tries to take God's place. We're studying about him in this two-day lesson. Yesterday, we got a good start. Most of the material comes from Revelation 13 in the early part of that chapter, but we're collecting verses from all over the prophetic word that tell us about this man, the man of sin, who will come one day and deceive the world into following him and then ultimately betray them into awfulness. We'll have more to say about that in just a moment, but before we get started with today's lesson, I just want to keep inviting you to come to Alaska with us. We'll enjoy the luxurious accommodations of Holland America's stately MS Uridam, known for its gracious service and bountiful cuisine. And as we dock at charming ports like Juneau, Sitka, Ketchikan, we'll be introduced to Alaska's unforgettable people and culture, and you will create memories you will never lose the rest of your life. Come join us when we go to Alaska, July 13th through the 20th. We're having a very robust response to this cruise, and I am confident we're going to run out of cabins before too much longer, so don't wait till the last minute. Make sure you reserve your space and join us as we tour Alaska in July. Well, let's get started with the second half of this message. We have called this The Beast from the Sea. Now, what is this guy like? What is the Antichrist like? Well, the Bible, while I've said doesn't tell us who he is, it tells us a lot about him. First of all, his personality. Revelation 13:5, if you still have your Bibles open there, we are told that he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Daniel says that he will be boastful and will speak pompous words against the Most High. Now, take all of those phrases and put them all together and shake them up, and what comes out is the Antichrist is going to be an impressive orator. He is going to be able to sway people by his personal presence, and I believe he will use television in an incredible way. And we haven't had much of that in our time. I mean, we've had John F. Kennedy, who was certainly a better than average orator. We've had Ronald Reagan, who was very good. And I remember some years ago, somebody gave me a video. It was old and scratchy, but I think it was somebody doing a representation of what it was like when Hitler got in front of people. And they said that Hitler was a massively successful orator. He would gather great crowds of people and he would begin to speak very softly so that everybody would lean in. And little by little, he would speak louder and louder until he'd get to the end of his speech. He would be screaming and the people would be on their feet screaming in response to him. Well, you take Hitler and Ronald Reagan, John F. Kennedy, and you put them all together and double it about four or five times, and you will have something of what it will be like when this man of sin takes his place on stage and begins to address the people of the world. He will be an incredibly gifted speaker. The Bible tells us also that he will be very attractive. Daniel says in Daniel 7:20 that his appearance was greater than his fellows. In other words, he was impressive. Have you ever been in the presence of an impressive person? You just walk into their presence and, you know, something happens. They walk into a room and everything changes. I believe he will be extraordinarily handsome. I think he's probably going to be very tall, even though he comes from Europe. God can do that. Yeah. The Bible says he's also going to be a man of great intellect. Daniel describes him as somebody who understands sinister schemes and through his cunning shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. This is going to be some kind of an impressive guy. We wonder how in the world such a thing could happen, but it will. And he will be just what this old sinful, God-rejecting world will be looking for. Someone to make the pain go away and give them some hope. Now he has a plan. His plan is, according to Daniel, to come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. Very perceptive terms. The Antichrist will begin as one of many minor political leaders, attract very little attention at first, but gradually grasping more and more power. His plan is to defeat all of the other world leaders and eventually take over the world through whatever means is necessary, first by deceit and intrigue, and later by force. And he will be very prideful. The Bible tells us that he opens his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. Once he has the ear of the people, and they begin to talk about all of the missing folks who are gone, supposedly gone to heaven, the Antichrist will take the opportunity to blast heaven with his words. Not only blasting God, but blasting his law and his love and his plan and his family and his son. He will just pour out his wrath against the God of heaven. That's what the Bible says. He will strip anything away that has to do with religious structure, history, or stability in starting his own religion. He will endeavor to obliterate God. It would be his goal that every church will be turned into a restaurant or a mosque or something other than what it is today. If you want an illustration of what it will be like today in Iraq, if you do not fall down and bow to Islam, you're given a choice to either leave the country, pay a huge tax, stay in the country, or be killed. You either do it this way or you die. That will be the mentality during this period of the tribulation all over the world. Now, he will use his cunning to form a peace treaty. You heard me talk about that in the drama. Daniel 9:27 says, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Let me just tell you that in the book of Daniel, the word week here is a week of years, not a week of days. This is a week of years, 7 years. The Antichrist will come to the people in Israel surrounded by their Islamic enemies and say, I can fix this. If you will trust me, I will make a peace treaty with you to protect you from all of the enemies around you. This is a 7-year treaty. Because of the treaty, Israel will once again feel like they can relax. Unfortunately, they will let down their military readiness. They will turn all of their energy into building up their cultural improvements. They will refurbish and rebuild the Jewish temple. But the Bible says halfway through the 7-year treaty, Daniel 9:27 says it this way, in the middle of the week, if a week is 7 years, how long is the middle of the week? 3.5. He will bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination be the one who makes desolate. In other words, right in the middle of the tribulation, when Israel has let down its guard, the Antichrist will come in and he will go into the temple, as we'll see in a few moments. He will defile the temple and he will cause the Israelis no longer to be allowed to worship. He will cause sacrifice and offerings to cease. And then in verse 7, we are told about his persecution. It was granted to the Antichrist to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe and tongue and nation. Remember, we talked about how he gained control over them through his licensing approach. When the peace treaty with Israel is broken, all hell will break loose on this earth. And this will usher in the last half of the tribulation, normally referred to as the Great Tribulation. Daniel describes it this way, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. And in 8:24 he said, he shall destroy fearfully, shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and all the holy people. The Bible tells us that at this particular time, everything on this earth will be as bad as you can ever imagine. Massive beheadings will be nothing compared to the torture and persecution and the hateful conduct of these emissaries of Satan. And how do they do this? The Bible tells us about his power. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, we are told, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Powers, signs, and wonders are all words which we ascribe to Jesus. But here we are told these are powers, signs, and lying wonders. In other words, they're not really wonders. They just appear to be. They're deceitful wonders. The Antichrist deception will be so sweeping that people will be unable to believe the truth. And there are going to be two events that will take place almost simultaneously with the breaking of Antichrist's treaty with Israel. First of all, the Antichrist will kill the two witnesses who are on this earth. We learned about them earlier, so I won't talk about that anymore. But he will execute them. He will see that they are annihilated. We read about that in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Here's what it says. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, talking about the two witnesses, overcoming them and killing them. Then the Antichrist will enact his most sensational feat. It will appear that he has been killed. And then, to the astonishment of the whole world, he will be raised back to life by the power of Satan in a grotesque counterfeit of the resurrection. Revelation 13:3 says, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Please notice the careful wording of the scripture. It does not say, I saw one of his heads mortally wounded. It says, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. So he deceives the world into believing that he has been killed and then comes back to life. Satan is the great deceiver, but I want to tell you something. He cannot create life. He cannot create anything new. So this is not a genuine resurrection. It is a faked resurrection. And the Antichrist is so profane. The Bible tells us in Revelation, they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? When the Antichrist breaks his treaty with Israel, he will surround Jerusalem with his troops. He will seize the newly constructed temple. And then, as one last mockery of God, Satan will install the Antichrist as a god in the temple of Israel. At that point, we are told, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the false prophet, his associate, will erect an animated image of the Antichrist in the Jewish temple and enable this animated image to speak. He will command the world to worship the image, ultimately fulfilling Daniel's prophecy. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, says Mark, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. I don't know if you're getting this picture, but this Antichrist, will orchestrate the things of the world until ultimately he is placed in the throne room of the Jewish temple, and the whole world is required to bow down to him and worship him as if he were the true God of the universe. And those who refuse, like those in Iraq today, who will not say that they have allegiance to the Islamic faith, will be executed. Now that's the story in so many words. That is a tutorial on the Antichrist. What's going to happen during the tribulation when one man rules the world? So what happens to this guy? How does it all end? What is a deserving ending for someone who deceives the whole world into such evil? What should become of him? Well, his punishment, according to Daniel 8:25, is defeat, total and absolute defeat. At the end of the tribulation period, with all of his armies gathered, he is told that the army of Christ is in heaven and on his way to the earth. And he assembles all of his armies together to fight against Jesus Christ and the second coming. We're told Christ is riding on a white horse, and all of us who are followers of Christ with the angels will be observing this event. Now, what does Jesus do to defeat this evil man? Well, Daniel says, he shall rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without any human means. That's a clear statement that no humanity is going to be involved in the destruction of the Antichrist. He's coming against Jesus with his armies. Here comes Jesus on his white horse. And John tells us what happens. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And when the beast comes face to face with Christ, he will meet a swift end. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and with the brightness of his coming. Do you know how hard it's going to be for the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with the Antichrist? Watch this. That's it. Now, he is destroyed, he is defeated, but he is not dead. And so the Bible tells us that what will happen is, Revelation 19:20, the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And the two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Did you know that the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist are going to be the two first inhabitants in the lake of fire? You say, well, don't people go to hell now if they don't believe in God? They go to Hades or to Sheol or wherever. One day, the Bible says, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, but not until later. But right now, in the lake of fire, we are told, there is an awaiting for this moment when at the end of this time we've talked about today, the beast, Antichrist, and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire forever. Now, fast forward 1,000 years. 1,000 years after their incarceration in the lake of fire, we are now at the end of the millennium, the kingdom time. The beast and the false prophet will still be alive and in torment. Here's what we read in Revelation 20:10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And the Bible says that all those who ultimately reject Christ will one day join them in this place of torment. Now, guys, I got to tell you, a lot of people are okay until I get to this point. But don't be telling me about this place called hell where people are going to be tormented forever and ever. And I don't like the brimstone and fire thing either. So just don't go there. Well, I'm not going to tell you anything that I don't know from the scripture. And I know what the Bible says about hell, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And let me just tell you that you can argue about all this that you want to. You can say, well, I don't believe that. How many of you know that whether you believe something or not does not make it true? Some people that I know, they really think this, since I don't believe it, then it's not true. Come on. Here's what I can tell you after all my research about this. Here's what I can tell you about this place. Are you ready? You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. And you don't have to go there. Believe whatever you want to believe about how awful it is or however you want to dim it down. It's not a place where you want to be, because more than all of the fire and brimstone and all the rest is, number one, you live forever and ever in total isolation and without any opportunity to know God or rectify anything that you've done in the wrong in the past. Once you die and you go to hell, you can never correct the problem. It is frozen forever and ever with no hope of recovery. So it's not a place you want to go. It's not a place you want to even think of going. How many of you know you don't want your loved ones to go there either? Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to happen someday. As sure as I'm standing here, as sure as you're sitting where you are, one of these days, the rapture is going to happen. There'll be a voice, the Bible says, and a shout, and the archangel, and then the dead in Christ, those who died as Christians, will be caught up to be with the Lord. And the Bible says, and those of us who are alive and remain, we will be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we'll be in heaven when all these things I've talked about today are going on down here on this earth. But we'll only be in heaven if we make preparation to be there. And the only way you can do that is by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, by saying, Lord Jesus, I do believe that you are the Savior of the world, and I want you to be my Savior, and I invite you into my heart, and I ask you to forgive my sin, and I confess that you are my Savior. When you make that decision, you get on the invite list to go up to heaven when Jesus comes back. But if you've never done that, you will remain on this earth to live through all of the anguish and torment that I've talked about. You talk about hell, don't even go there. What goes on this earth will be so bad, you will not believe what's going to happen. Here's the good news. You don't have to experience any of that. This is not a scare tactic on my part. I'm not into that stuff. You all know that. What I'm telling you is the truth. This is what the book says. If I didn't tell you that, I'd be a deceiver. I'd be a false prophet. Here's what the book says. Here's what God has said to us. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can go to heaven. And if you should die before the Lord comes back, you will go to heaven immediately. But you have to make the decision in the here and now. Somebody told me one day, well, I'm going to wait and when I hear the sound, if it really happens. And I said, no, you are not quick enough. And the Bible says when that happens, the people who don't believe will be hardened. They'll be hardened even more against the truth. So let me just urge you, my friends. I'm your friend. I have no other motive in this except to tell you, I want you to be in heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want you to experience the awful things on this earth and the ultimate judgment of eternity without God. You can make the decision to go to heaven and be in heaven forever and ever. Hmm.
And you know, friends, the interesting and important thing to remember is all reservations for heaven have to be made during your time on this earth. There's no standing at the door of heaven and saying, you know, when I was alive, I didn't get time to do this. I'd like to make my reservation now. That's too late. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. If you wait until it's too late, if you die before you receive Christ, you can't go to heaven. I know there's probably a more sophisticated way to say that, but that's just the truth. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. So hear me carefully today. If you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, do it now. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be in some holy place. You just need to be honest in your heart before God and simply ask him to forgive your sin and then accept him as your personal Lord and Savior and begin to live for him immediately. The Bible tells us that if you do that, if you believe, you will receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, tomorrow here on Turning Point, we take another step in our journey through the prophetic landscape, and we're going to learn about another beast. This beast is called the beast from the earth, and he is the false prophet, the second person of the unholy Trinity, if you want to know the truth. And we'll learn a lot about his role as the leader of the religious rebellion during the last days on this earth. Don't forget to ask for your copy of the devotional book, Perhaps Today. This inspirational prayer book has been written and designed just for you and just for this time. While we're looking at all these future things, here's a book of prayers and devotional thoughts to keep your heart geared toward the hope that is yours in Jesus Christ. Ask for your copy when you send your gift today. We'll see you right here tomorrow. Our message today originated from Shadow Mountain Community Church, where Dr. David Jeremiah is senior pastor. We'd love to hear how God is using Turning Point in your life. Please write to Turning Point, P.O. Box 3838, San Diego, California, 92163. Visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio or call 800-947-1993. Ask for your copy of Perhaps Today, David's 31-day prayer and devotional book to give you biblical help and hope each day. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also download the free Turning Point mobile app for your smartphone or tablet and access our messages, programs, and resources at your convenience. Or if you prefer, go to your app store and search for the keywords Turning Point Ministries. Get the details when you visit us at davidjeremiah.org/radio. This is David Michael Jeremiah. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, Signs, here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.